yeah. You know what that is? It's time for Falcon Cast, and we are fired up. It's about to be 2016, and we told the Carolina Panthers, too bad you're not going 16-0. You came into our house. You wanted to take pictures a couple of weeks ago. You wanted to talk trash all week, and now guess what? You kind of tuck your tails between your legs, and you drove back up I-85 with a loss.
Cat
How
tails.
Awesome was that?
Oh. So we're fresh off of it. So it's still a little, you know, we got to record early this week.
We do, because it's
because of the New Year's holiday, but so it's still fresh. But that was, I'm going to put that as probably one of the more enjoyable wins that I've been a part of since beating Seattle in the playoffs.
It's the most. I think Shock asked me yesterday on the postgame show, it's the best win they've had in 3 years.
Absolutely.
Period. And for me, I've been on the sidelines for five. It's the best regular season win, hands down, in the 5 years I've been here.
This was a game, if you weren't in the dome, I'm sorry. Because this was one of the most electric games. It was a lot of Panthers fans in the stadium. There was the Falcons fans were cheering. They were loud. They were in there throughout the entire game. But just being at this game, for me, it gave me goosebumps. This is the type of game you wanted to be a part of. This is the type of game that you enjoyed. And watching this game, I never felt like the Falcons were going to lose this game. I felt like they were in control throughout this game. And I mean, the boys showed up. I mean, point blank, they showed up, and like you just mentioned, a couple weeks ago, you were embarrassed, 38-0. They're taking pictures, and I think that was a big part of why this game, what it was. And I had so many people asking me, "You think it's gonna be a blowout again? You think the Falcons got any chance?" I said, "Oh, absolutely. This is a game at home, and that's for the like you mentioned when we first came on." That's the main reason why is because these guys throw out the records, throw out how much you make. It was all about the pride. It was all about I'm at home, and I'm going to make sure I get it done.
Bosek, you playing around with wires over
yeah,
there?
Now yeah. I can't hear anything.
I can only hear anything out of my right ear.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing Bo. Over there.
All right ear, okay.
Oh,
we're all
man.
Right
oh, there we go.
Hey, there we go. All right.
For those of you that are listening and wondering what's going on, Bosek's over there fiddling with stuff.
Yeah, he's
and then we just couldn't
playing
hear.
With wires and – and we're over here, you know, he's playing tic-tac-toe with himself sometimes.
These cords aren't long enough.
Oh, sure.
See?
Sure.
Likely excuse.
Likely story. Likely story. But, yeah, this was a team that I think was angry.
Yeah.
You know, you saw a very different Dan Quinn after that 38-0 loss a couple of weeks ago. I think because it happened so recently, I think that helped the Falcons in a lot of ways because it was just still so fresh. There were a lot of guys in the locker room who were going to tell you, well, you get past losses and blah, blah, blah.
No.
You know, that's the standard answer. This stuff kind of
That's for when
you.
They're doing like this.
Yeah. Exactly. This was, you know, some of the more honest guys, some you're a Brian Schofield or your Devontae Freeman, were very open about it and said, yeah, that sticks with you. That's a bad taste in your mouth. And I think it was for this entire team. They did not want to have that happen again.
Right.
But they also wanted to avenge some of the things that happened in that game. I mean, there was a lot that, you know, look, the Panthers earned that win. You know, they earned the right to celebrate and do all that kind of stuff. But I think the Falcons wanted to earn their chance to celebrate, too. And they certainly did it. And I love that those guys had such a great time yesterday.
You know, I'll go to what Shock said for a moment. There was one time there was doubt in my mind whether Atlanta would win. Carolina goes down and goes up 7-0, and you're basically stuck with a 3-and-out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, boy. This is eerily similar. Because remember, the Panthers had ran 20 plays in Charlotte and were up 21-0. Mm-hmm. So 11 plays in, they're already up 7-0. They're set to get the ball back. And then Peanut Tillman, who did not play in the first game, decided to take some liberties with Roddy White blocking a little too aggressively. He gets a 15-yard penalty. And it seemed like at that moment the switch flipped. And the Falcons said, wait a second, we're not going to be punked by these guys again. Because they were, let's be honest, call a spade, they were punked a couple of weeks ago. You lose 38-0. There was a lot of soul searching that went on in that locker room. And you could tell from the way they came out from that moment forward, you're picking up third downs. I mean, third and four, third and five, Matt Ryan's making plays. Devontae Freeman's breaking tackles and getting through people and picking up first downs. Defensively, every time you needed a stop, you were coming up with a stop. And I saw a great stat. Cam Newton was 0-for-6 in the fourth quarter on third down passing. 0-for-6.
Yeah.
It's First time it's ever happened in his career because the Falcons continue to make plays. There's a pride factor involved with this, and for all the coach speak that sometimes goes on in this league, I think these guys have really bought into finish. They realized a couple of weeks ago at 6-7, okay, the season may be over. You may not make the playoffs. By the way, officially they are eliminated thanks to Minnesota trouncing the Giants on Sunday Night Football.
Come on, Eli.
But guys are looking now saying, you know what? We can finish this season on a positive note. You go into the offseason at 9-7. If you're a guy that's going to be here and you're going to be a leader next year, you can all of a sudden preach to somebody else, hey, this works, and we are good enough. And we could finish this season strong, and maybe it carries over into next year.
This was something that really stuck with me last night, too, as I'm watching Monday night as I'm watching the Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Whatever.
I don't know what day it is anymore. So I'm watching the game on Sunday night between the Giants and the Vikings, and that's one of the things that really stuck with me is, okay, so you're going to be out of the playoffs here. You have a chance to, in two games, you know, you kind of – look at the schedule and you're like, well, you finish up with Carolina and the Saints, and you've already lost to both of those teams, and that's kind of a tough way to end the season. A lot of pundits were saying there's no way the Falcons win another game right. All year and all that other stuff. You come out, you beat the Jags, and then you make that statement win on Sunday over Carolina, and if you can somehow find a way to do to New Orleans what they did to you earlier in the season, you end on such a positive note.
Right.
That, yeah, look, that six-game losing streak was terrible, and we all suffered through it, and I think, you know, we're all stronger from it, and, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm not stronger from it.
I'm not.
I really wanted to be in the playoffs, but I get what
you're
saying.
We all did, but I think if you try to find any silver lining here, it's that you can finish on such a high note that momentum carries you into the next year. I mean, look at what the Panthers did last year.
Right, yeah.
You know, they finished with such a strong year, and then they get into the playoffs, their season ends, but, you know, they're able to carry that momentum in to this year. So I think that's really, really important for the
And Falcons. I think it goes back to when people were questioning Dan Quinn and questioning, is he the right guy for this job? Mm-hmm. And all year long, we've heard him preach that whole mantra of finish, finish, finish. And Jay just bring up a great point is you got a chance to go out and finish this season off right. And not only you finish it off in a fashion where you're beating two of your division rivals, but you got a chance to finish the season off how you started. You started the season really high, had some lows in the middle of the season, and now you finish on a high note by beating Carolina and the Saints, who started your losing streak and really, you know, got you on a different path. But playing against your division rivals, showing that, hey, we do have the fighting. You got to give Coach Quinn all the credit still to keep these guys motivated, to keep these guys into it mentally. When everybody on the outside, when every time you picked up your phone, somebody was talking bad about your team. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, he kept his team focused. And even a couple weeks ago when you were dismantled by Carolina, you still have a chance. And lucky enough, not many teams get that opportunity, like we mentioned, to be able to come back and play him so recently. Mm-hmm. You haven't been able to come back and play him in 2 weeks and have the chance to kind of redeem that and say, all right, we got a chance to put our foot down, and now we can be the talk of the national stage. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Sunday it was all about the biggest win of the season or the biggest upset. It wasn't all about Carolina, really. The Falcons did this. The Falcons did that. You saw highlights of the Falcons. So I was extremely proud to see that, and it just reassures me of how well Coach Quinn can really get to his players and manufacture some of that enthusiasm, intensity that they had early in the season.
One thing I want to go back to is the point that John brought up about that first offensive drive for the Falcons. You know, raise your hand when on the first play you fumble the ball, you said to yourself, here we go again. I mean, that should be
guilty. All
that. It was, you go basically 3-and-out. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and this is after they go down the field. Right. And you're like, your defense wasn't even
that. And they
finna
get great field position again.
Exactly. So you're thinking that this game is starting to get out of control. I wasn't watching what happened with Roddy and Peanut Tillman, but I saw the scuffle. And to your point, it changed the entire dynamic of the game. Mm-hmm. I really wonder, had that not happened, had you not gotten the extra chance with that penalty, do you win that game?
Yeah.
Whatever happened in that little scrum changed the course of the game for the Falcons. Like, I can't overstate that, because I feel like that is such – you know, you talk about all week, keep your poise, keep your poise, keep your poise. Mm-hmm. That's what Dan Quinn said, because there were some extracurriculars against Carolina the first time that really got the Falcons in trouble. You keep your poise. You let the other guys get caught. Let them lose their poise. Suddenly, you're in a situation where you've got a second chance. Right. And you make the best out of that possible situation. Mm-hmm. And it changes the entire course of the game.
And you talk about winning on third down, that drive.
Yeah.
You went three and out. And after that,
you had six first downs on that drive.
You started completing those third downs. And that's when you say, it's clicking. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we can do this. We can make it happen. And as an offensive guy, and you look at the defense, and you complete a third down, and I saw it numerous times, their secondary, their linebackers, they're all looking around doing like this, or they're just sitting there like looking at each other like, and then in your head you say, okay, I got something.
Yeah.
I got them a little frustrated, and now they're over there questioning themselves, and that's something you really haven't seen from a top five defense, is guys questioning each other. So you knew then, okay, we got something going here.
You know, I thought one of the things the Falcons did really well on Sunday afternoon is they took what is normally negative. And Carolina's a trash-talking team, and I have zero problem in the National Football League if you're a guy that talks trash. I think that's part of the game. I'm better than you. I'm going to tell you I'm better than you. I'm going to show you I'm better than you. But sometimes the bully on the yard doesn't like to be punched back in the mouth. And I think part of that started to happen. You had the deal with Roddy White and Peanut Tillman. You have Josh Norman, who talks from the second he gets on the plane. He's talking to Julio, and Julio was taking his lunch. Julio's going, I'm not going to say anything to you. I'm just going to continue to dominate you. I read a stat, ESPN Stats and Info had it.
Seven for like 98 or
eight targets they had where it was one-on-one between Norman and Julio. Mm-hmm. Julio caught seven for like 98 yards, and the one miss, he dropped.
Right.
He ran the route that we were talking about back there, and the ball hit him in the hands, and he dropped the pass. So either way, Julio got way better of the matchup this time between Josh Norman. Then you had Cam Newton, and I thought this was a critical point in the game. I don't know what facilitated it, but Vic Beasley on a play, and this was in the first quarter, hit Cam Newton. Newton made it a point, and I thought the ref should have flagged him. He walked through the referees and put his finger right in Vic Beasley's face and started jawing, and Vic did like this, basically saying, you bring it. And from that point on, Vic Beasley looked like the Vic Beasley that played at Clemson, because he ate the lunch of the Carolina Panthers offensive line. He was in the backfield. He was making plays. And I think to a point, they rattled Cam Newton, because for the first time all year, the Falcons weren't punked by him, or nobody in the league was punked by him. He tried to do one of those first down marks, and there was defensive players going, uh-uh, that crap isn't happening in the Georgia Dome. It's nice to see.
Right, it was. And you talk about how, you know, this team needed to be tougher, and, you know, the last couple of years have been a toughness crusade and all that other stuff. This is a tough team, okay? And Dan Quinn has said as much, and they've shown as much in a lot of games this year, and I think perhaps no more than in Sunday's game. I think there's so many storylines that you can draw from that 60 minutes of play. One being, Julio Jones is not a human being. I mean, there's, like, mechanics and some
Wayne right there,
alien power on like Planet X that's controlling him. It's unbelievable what he does. I think it's amazing to see what he continues to accomplish. And let's point out to cornerbacks in the league that if you come into a week talking smack to Julio Jones, he is now 2-0 with making cornerbacks who do that look completely silly. Okay, because Patrick Peterson did it last year. Just don't. Just save yourself. Save yourself the trouble, because he will not talk back. He will show you on the field what he can do.
Now, he's got a couple of milestones. He'd have to have an unbelievable week against New Orleans.
Yeah.
But he's 16 catches short of being the all-time single-season reception leader, and he'd have to have like 260 or 270 to catch Calvin Johnson's single-season receiving yardage mark. But you don't have anything to play for. If I'm Kyle Shanahan
and that Saints defense,
they're not very good.
They're on the team,
I would throw to him really, you know, ad nauseum. You know what? I'm going to make him have the best. What do they do?
He has every game. He gets minimum at least 8-9 catches, and that's just
on a regular.
Just on a regular. So he's going to get a minimum of 8-9. He's had games where he's got 12-13 targets and all that. So I think it's not out of the realm of getting Antonio Brown 15, 16, 17 catches. You know, they got to find ways to give him the ball on little bubble screens, just little ways to catch the football. But It's not the Rams that he can get that many.
See, but the thing is, though, you got to kind of stick with what's been working the last 2 weeks. And what's been working the last couple of weeks is involving guys like Roddy White and Justin Hardy in the game plan.
Hey, foe.
Staying, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Hey, foe.
But staying true to that balanced attack has really helped the Falcons offensively in the last couple of weeks because, you know, I think Kyle Shanahan went through this period where it's like, okay, we're going to force it to Julio every single time. When really the opposite happens, when you
force it to him this week, Kyle. I want the record.
when you go away from Julio, the more open Julio becomes because defenses have to focus on some of these other players that are playmakers.
Right.
So I think that's really been the formula of success the last couple of weeks offensively is getting some of these other guys involved.
I think you bring up a good point, and to that point, I'll say. Defenses can't play that two cover shell every single play.
No.
You got to find times where Falcons going to run the football. You got a Pro Bowl running back at Devontae Freeman, so they're going to have times where you got to bring another guy in the box, bring a safety down. You're going to have one-on-one coverage, or you have to just play regular zone.
Right.
And when you play regular zone, that's when your chances are better of finding Julio. We saw so many times he's hitting Julio on those slants. He's hitting him on those dig routes. He's finding ways to hit him on that whip route that he dropped on 3rd and 5. You know, certain plays like that, they're just going to happen. And I don't think, like you mentioned, you don't have to force feed it all the time because it's going to be there.
Right.
And he's such a great talent. He not only is a great route runner, everybody can see that, but the guy is intelligent when he runs routes. He knows how to find those holes in there. He knows where to sit down at. He knows not to run himself into trouble. He's such a great route runner. Him and Matt have such a great rapport, as we saw yesterday, that the plays will come. And you don't have to force feed him. You have to force it in three guys because eventually his time is going to come. He's going to beat guys. He's going to find ways to get the football. So I don't think we have to force feed him. Like we mentioned, he's going to get the ball 8, 9, 10 times just off because of that's the way the offense is made.
Right. So you talk about the other guys on the field and how much that helps him. If you, going into halftime, how many rushing yards do you think Devontae Freeman had?
35.
Well, you know he had.
Was that what it was? I'm literally just guessing.
He had 35.
Oh, wow.
But my point here was going to be it seemed like a lot more.
Right.
Because they kept going to him. And because they kept going to you don't need Devontae to have a 100-yard game every game
to
be effective. You've just got to make him a threat. You got to give him the ball enough to make him a threat so that teams have to play honest against Julio. Mm-hmm. And then it opens up Julio even more.
And Devontae's in that same field as Julio. I mean, there was a time where Kuechly had a clean shot at him for a tackle for loss, gave him a little oohie, gave him a little shake, picked up another 10 to 15 yards.
See that quickness shot?
Devontae has that what John has right there. That little shimmy.
Maybe a little bit more.
Better. He actually moves places. But no, to Jay's point, he's spot on. I think Arch mentioned this on the network broadcast. Arch said, you know what? One of the great things that they continue to do was run the football, even when it was obvious passing. That would be 2nd and 10, and they'd run it and pick up 4. And what that was doing, it was keeping Kuechly and Thomas Brown and Shaq Thompson. When Matt would throw that flash play fake in there, they'd have to hesitate for an eighth of a second. They'd pause.
It's just
and
enough.
Guess what? That's enough for Julio to get behind you and run that deep square in.
Even on the run plays where they were picking up maybe a half a yard or a yard, those are plays you have to have. You have to force the run, like you said, because it creates an honesty for that defense.
Right.
And we know how fast they can pursue. We know how fast their linebackers and we know their D-line plays on the other side of the ball. But it's just one of those things versus a good defense you have to do. And it's not like you have an average back there. You got a guy who can make some people miss.
The Pro Bowler for a reason.
So it's awesome to have that run game included.
There's one more guy I want to talk about, guys.
Who that? AFO? Oh.
Well,
we'll talk about him
later.
Okay.
There's one more guy that I want to talk about, and I think both of you have very strong opinions on this. How about #2 yesterday?
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
You want to talk toughness.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got hit as hard as I've seen him get hit in his career. There were people on Twitter who were saying, he's hurt. What's going on with Matt?
And he was.
Okay? And
he was hurt.
He was hurt. But you know what? He came in there and he played as tough as I've seen him play. He always gives that every single week, no matter how hard he's getting hit, no matter how much he's getting hit. And for the criticism that he's taken this year, even some of you haters out there have to give him credit because he stood in there and he led this team back.
I remember he had a slide a few years ago against New Orleans. And by the way, people say, oh, he was at the half-yard line. He was at like the 6-yard line and he slid because he had no chance of getting in. Yesterday, in a similar scenario, trying to pick up a first down, he pump fakes. He gets the first down by shaking Thomas Davis, and then he could have slid, but he decides, I'm going to go for it, and he gets whacked to the point where, and this was right at the end of the first quarter, second quarter, and I don't know how much they showed this on television. Thank goodness it was the end of the quarter, because I think Matt would have had to come out for a play.
Yeah,
he literally hurting. Squatted down and couldn't
hurting.
Get up.
Yeah,
he was hurting.
Yeah.
He was having trouble for a stretch getting down to take the snap from football. But guess what? He continued to play, and he continued to make throws, and he didn't make any mistakes. That lets you know there is your franchise quarterback. Stop trying to trade him for a third-round pick. Stop trying to send him to Cleveland for Johnny Manziel. We don't want that guy here. You don't want to turn into the Texans. You don't want to turn into the Cowboys that are starting quarterbacks that should be bagging groceries right now. We want Matt Ryan. We love Matt Ryan. Stop hating.
This is Matt's.
We're all sweating. Don't adjust your screens. Yeah. We're all sweating.
This is Matt's eighth year, and I think he's missed a total of, what, three, four games?
Two or three games.
Yeah.
And
With a legitimate injury.
Right. And you just brought up two teams that played four quarterbacks this season.
There were three teams this year that have played four quarterbacks, including the Colts.
So you bring up toughness, and there's – nobody should ever question Matt Ryan's toughness, because yesterday was on display exactly how tough he is. And I can tell you right now, getting hit in that hip, that slash rib area, and having to torque and throw – It's one of the worst.
It's not just torque and throw. It's just to get to a handoff that hurts.
I think he was 22 of 30 or something, had 80 completions. He had five drops though. Mm-hmm. He had five drops in his game. He still had 119 QB rating. He played really well in every single moment of that game. Obviously, it was the bad snap, but you know it wasn't something that really really hurt you. Defense did a good job of holding to a field goal, but. There were times he was under so much distress in the pocket. That pocket was closing and collapsing, and he still had kept his eyes downfield. One play that just sticks out of my mind is he hits his fifth step, and as soon as he hits his fifth step, I don't know who it was, 94 was coming around the edge, and he is already on Matt. He breaks that tackle. Another guy is coming around, has him for a sack, and he finds Devontae. He just flicks it out there, and Devontae picks up another 10, 15 yards. If not, that's a sack. You're in second and 20 right now. But he has a wherewithal to keep his eyes downfield. Those are plays that keeps you in ball games. Those are plays that you can't really look at the stat line and says, okay, this guy did a pretty good job. Plays that are unorthodox, the play to Julio, getting outside the pocket. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's another sad play.
And guess what? He was going to his left where everybody says he can't throw going to his left. Throws to his left and launches it a good 52 yards
in the air.
That's the other point I wanted to make is on that play. Everybody's going to remember that play for Julio Jones, and rightfully so. Because that was an amazing play.
Peanut Tillman bearing down on him.
Right, right. That was an amazing play. But Matt, you got to go back to the beginning of that drive because Matt was hurting on that drive. He was showing a lot of pain on that drive. He comes in, you're in a third down situation. It's a long third down situation. You know, you're under pressure. You're flushed out of the pocket. Most quarterbacks, they're hurting at that time. Just throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just live to fight another day, okay? Matt rolls all the way out to his left, which nobody says he can do, and just points to Julio. Mm-hmm. They've got that rapport. Just go. Little backyard football. And just toss it up. You made something happen under circumstances that most quarterbacks who may be wearing gold jackets would have probably thrown it away.
Right.
Let's not force it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think two plays before that, Thomas Davis kind of
blasted him.
Picks Matt up and just power drives him into the ground. And you see Matt just squirming on the ground. Yeah. You say, okay, here comes Renfrew.
That's the other thing. Yeah, right? But that's the other thing is that Matt Ryan is very aware of who's on the other side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's under pressure, but he's under pressure from guys like Thomas Davis, who's one of the hardest hitters I've ever seen in my life.
Kawan Short.
Star Lutulele.
Yeah. Luke Kuechly.
You've got
Charles Johnson.
Hard hitters that are coming after you. And the way Matt was able to stay in the pocket and just take those hits. He knew it was coming. He knew he was going to get blasted on a lot of these plays, and he stuck in there.
Let me put something in perspective for a lot of you guys listening and watching right now. On that particular play, the margin of error, or I should say how fast you have to think about something, and just you listen to his post-game interview, He rolls to his left, and now you got maybe a half a second or a second to really imagine what's going on. He rolls out to his left, and instantly he says, I see Luke Kuechly, and I see a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And all this is happening as you're rolling to your left. You got a big cornerback barreling down on you. And like you said, you could easily just say, okay, I see two guys out there. Yeah. Let me throw it away. No, yeah. He says, I see Luke Kuechly, a linebacker, and a safety. Two guys I know can't play the football in the air. Mm-hmm. And he makes a decision that quick.
Yep.
That quick. And a lot of people don't realize how big of a decision that is or how fast you can process information
right. In
a key moment. When right. A lot of guys say, all right, I'm not even thinking about this. Two guys out there, I'm just going to throw it away and live to play another down. No, I see the matchup. I like the matchup. I know exactly what that matchup is. I'm going to give my guy a chance. Mm-hmm. And at best, I know he's going to come down with it, or at worst, it's going to be batted down. So it just talks to everything, the intangibles of what a franchise guy is all about and the decision he makes. And like you mentioned, he made some great decisions in that game.
Go ahead and yell at him again.
I'm not going to yell at him, but maybe a little bit. But I wanted to go to something that happened on Sunday afternoon football. After the Falcons game, I got home and I was watching the Cardinals dismantle the Green Bay Packers. And I think all of us would agree, Aaron Rodgers is, if not the best, one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the NFL. He will have a gold jacket someday, and deservedly so. He is a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But when he can't get any blocking and his receivers can't get open, it's really funny that Aaron Rodgers looked like a mortal against the Arizona Cardinals. Yeah. He got sacked, I believe, 8 times, to the point where they said, Scott Tolzien, you go in there because Aaron's
had enough.
And then he got sacked about 6
safety.
More times.
Yeah, for a safety, yeah.
The point to all that is, for everybody that says, oh, Matt's not good, Matt's not good, I'm not comparing Matt to Aaron Rodgers because he's not. And that's not a knock on Matt Ryan. That just tells you how great of a quarterback Aaron Rodgers is. My point is, when you get hit as a quarterback, you can't succeed. When your receivers cannot get open, you cannot succeed. Yet nobody yesterday was blaming Aaron Rodgers for the Packers getting blown out. People were saying, well, their offensive line stinks and their receivers aren't very good and they've got injuries. It's funny, in this town, when the same thing happens to Matt Ryan and receivers either drop the ball or don't get open, or the interior offensive line gets pushed in his face and he's getting sacked, it's all on him. There's a double standard in this town that aggravates the crap out of me. I had a guy on Twitter yesterday, it has nothing to do with Matt Ryan, that had the nerve to say, you found, and he's a Georgia Bulldog fan, not to say all of them are bad people, shocked, but okay. he was a dog fan. He said, you Falcon fans win a stupid regular season game and you act like you won the Super Bowl.
No perspective.
Have some perspective. None. You beat a 14-0 football team.
Has none.
The Dolphins did that in 85, yet everybody still remembers them for beating the Bears. The Giants did it in 98 when the Denver Broncos were undefeated. The Jets did it in 2009. People remember those teams for winning big games, and in this town, we won a big game.
It happens.
We want a huge game.
It is. And
I'm fired
and
up,
I got
man.
Nothing to follow that up with. I just want to continue to watch this.
It's real, man. It's spot on because a lot of people, they lose perspective on it. Mm-hmm. And the team was 14-0 chasing history. We sat here last week and talked about it. You can be the team that goes down in history that stopped that streak.
Right.
And it happened. You got to put that in perspective. Regardless,
I don't care what the season is. Think about this: if the Panthers go on now to win the Super Bowl and they finish 18-1,
you are that one. Yeah.
And people will forever remember the game in the Georgia Dome that you were the one to beat the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. There's your perspective.
Yep.
I mean, it's
yes,
it's awesome. I'm really fired up. You know, the fans that have been with us, you know, I love the people that cheer for this team. I really do. I do think there's some people that don't understand, and I think we preached that early in the year at 5-0, how tough it is to win, not 10 games, to win one game in this league. It takes a lot of darn work by a lot of people to win a game in this league.
It does. And it's all love. We're yelling at you, but we love you.
Yeah, we do. We like that you interact with us.
That's true.
Now we have the New Orleans Saints coming
down. Yes, let's talk about them.
Finish off. They put a number on the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you had Drew Brees in fantasy football, you probably won a championship.
Another quarterback who's hurt, playing hurt.
Yeah.
Foot all jacked up, and he's down there. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. The end could be near for not only Drew Brees but Sean Payton. You've seen all the rumors out there as to, you know, the cap number that Drew Brees has. I think it's $30 million next year, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere in that range. Saints are all kinds of in trouble against the salary cap. They're going to have to make some serious decisions. There are people now that are saying Sean Payton's got to go. It's time to go a new direction, which I think those people are idiots because Sean Payton's the best thing that's ever happened down there. That combination is great. But for a team that's coming in potentially with that, they've got a lot to play for if this could be the last game for Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
I think it's the same kind of thing the Falcons are on. You want to go into the offseason on a positive note. And whether they go opposite ways with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, I think that's irrelevant to this game because they want to go out on a high note. And Drew Brees, he wants to finish this season off on a high note as well. And he wants to have some bargaining going into, you know, this offseason as well. But this Saints game is all about making sure you finish on a high note and going out and doing what you know, kind of what happened against the Panthers. You didn't play well versus the Saints the first time around. Right. You kind of gave the game away. We know all the turnovers and things that happened in that game. But the Saints have just as much to play for as the Falcons do. And they should be – they're probably going to come into this game with a lot of confidence because of what you meant, putting up a high number against Jacksonville. I think they picked off Bortles a couple times. I know he still had a good day after that. But they're going to come in with some confidence. They're going to be in your home. They're going to want to finish their season off on a high note and go into the offseason and finish up really well. So I think this game goes both ways, and it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be exactly what we saw against Carolina. A lot of offense, a lot of good plays made around the field, and it's just kind of like it has been over the years, is whoever had the ball last kind of game.
You know, I know both of these teams wanted to have some kind of playoff implications on this game. I mean, it's week 17. It's Falcons Saints. You were kind of hoping that one of these teams had to win to get in, and it's a shame that it's not. For me, though, that doesn't take away from the excitement of this game.
Right.
You've got two teams with absolutely nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. You're coming into this game with nothing to lose. You're playing for nothing but pride against your division rival, your hated division rival. To me, that's still exciting, and I think both teams are going to come in wanting to win this game. Okay, right. For the Falcons, it could mean a winning season. Believe it or not,
sure,
you can finish 9-7 if you win this game. For the Saints, it would be just a way for them to say, "Well, we've swept the Falcons."
Yeah.
You know, so there's still a lot on the line for both of these teams. That's, you know, not playoff related, but still, I think there's going to be an excitement leading up to this game because. And if you're a Falcons fan and you're going to be in the Dome that day, you better come prepared to scream because I want that place rocking. And I know everybody else in that locker room is going to want that place rocking. So don't sell your tickets saying.
Well, unless just you want to sell me two. I need two.
Just from last week.
Lower levels.
You got two?
We got two for a decent price.
What does the guy with, you know, on the field pass need? I don't know.
Well, I got people coming.
Oh, yeah.
The woman's coming to the game.
Oh, the who?
My woman.
Oh,
she's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, she's going to come to the game. Maybe my mom. I don't know
My woman.
Yeah, she's coming. But yeah, don't sell them to Saints fans. That should be your point.
Yes, that's my point.
Too much of that blue in there this past weekend.
Yeah,
but it was nice to watch them. You know, with all that bravado, head down, and
then drive all the way back to Charlotte.
Yeah,
that was kind of.
Although traffic was awful.
It was a nightmare.
It was awful. I stayed with you guys, what, about 4 seconds?
It was a nightmare because everybody stayed. Falcons fans stayed.
It is.
When we was leaving after the post-game show, I said this is probably one of the better traffic jams that you would love to be in.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mind.
You're a Falcons fan.
So. No, I didn't.
I didn't mind at all.
I had to hold back from talking trash to Panthers fans. I'm not going to lie. they're, you know, the South Florida in me tends to come out from time to time. I was wanting to talk trash to players on the field. I mean, literally, Bosa could probably attest to this.
It's dangerous for you and I to be on the field after a game.
I start getting fired up, and, you know, I have flashbacks of actually playing competitive sports.
As if John, we did John,
right? John, when them dudes stand up to the side, I'm just waiting for something to pop off.
Oh.
I'm just waiting for
it. I wish Josh Norman would.
I wish he would come over and say something.
I don't know who their sideline reporter is, but if something would have gone down where it was a big fracas.
That's who you're going for first.
I was going for him first.
I think I tweeted out last year, I can't remember what game we were in, where there was just nothing but fights, and I just tweeted out, I'm going to find whoever it was, their social media person, I'm going to fight that person.
Hey, you know what? We got our teams back. We're going to throw down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Would Bosek be right behind you?
I don't know. Would you?
Bosek?
He's from Chicago. He's going to be right behind us.
I'd follow you.
And he's a White Sox guy, so he's not a Cubs guy. He would follow me. He's a tough guy.
Okay. I got my elbows.
There you go.
Well, this is obviously going to be a fun game. We know what Saints-Falcons is all about. We know what the rivalry is all about. We know what the implications are for the rest of the year, you know, going into the offseason. I think it's a very winnable game for this team when you look up matchup-wise. The Saints' defense stunk. You move the ball at will against them when you were down there in New Orleans. You turned it over. I think they have, to a point, fixed some of the turnover woes from earlier on in the season. Still some bad self-inflicted wounds penalty-wise. Thank goodness those didn't come back to bite you against Carolina. But I think this is a game you go out and you win and you celebrate a happy new year and, you know, you get ready for the offseason.
Yeah, and it's an offseason. I think you win this game and you do it in a very positive way. I think there's so much to look forward to this offseason. You know, Dan Quinn's going to get his second offseason where he's going to be able to tinker with the roster and, and move guys around and bring guys in. Mm-hmm. And there's some exciting guys that could be on the free agency market too. I think there's a lot to be excited about because it's a big part of it, man, is belief. And these guys believe in him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you've got that. Now you just need maybe some of the pieces to come together.
I heard it a couple times, a couple guys talking after the game. And just to piggyback on a little bit what we talked about the Carolina game was – you know, they asked some guys, how did you stay away from all the, you know, the back and forth with them and all that kind of stuff? And the first thing that came out of each guy's mouth was Coach Quinn. Coach Quinn said this. Coach Quinn did this. And that tells you he can get to them. Right. They're listening to him. They bought into what the Coach Quinn culture is all about. Right. And that's what you talk about, building on it. And it's something that's gonna make guys say, okay, this is something that we know can work. And we've seen it in live action. We've seen it, you know, put the fourth on the field. And the energy that he brings on the sideline, the energy he brings around the building, it's electric, and it's just contagious for all the guys around it. So I'm looking forward to it. And I know Coach Quinn, like we talked about all season long, the transactions that they have on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what he's going to do in a whole offseason with guys to look at and bring in to work out, and they got the draft and Senior Bowls, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's going to be awesome to see him get this molded like a clay ball and get his whole unit together, see just how he wants it, and get this thing rolling.
Yeah, I agree. And there's going to be lots for us to talk about in the offseason too.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere.
We will be with you every week or – pretty much every week.
Every week.
There may be a week or two that I'm on vacation. Yeah, I'm in the Dominican or in Vegas, or one of those places.
But that's what's your woman?
No, she's not going to the Dominican.
Oh.
That's a guy's. She already knows.
Okay. Yeah. So this won't be a surprise.
There are certain parameters you have to set forth immediately. I said, look, I already.
I got to have it.
I already paid for this guy's trip, so I got to go. She goes, what are you going to do down there? Nothing. Just drink. Go to the beach. I will have a nice tan. That'll be the one, like, two-week period where I have a really good tan.
This dude told me before we came on he lost 11 pounds in a week.
I'm not kidding you.
And he said he didn't work out one time. And he ate bad. I said, what are you doing? How did you lose 11 pounds?
I have no idea. I told you what I weighed last week, and we don't want to divulge the information. Let's just say I got on the exact same scale in the exact same spot. Because, you know, sometimes the floor will be a little wobbly or it won't work or whatever. 11 pounds lighter.
I want to make sure you don't have some kind of terminal disease. What's going on here?
Hey, if I can lose 11 pounds a week, by the time I go to the Dominican, I will be at my target weight. Jeez. This is one of the things we're going to talk about in the offseason, Shock. Jay and I have kind of teamed up that both of us want to, you know, we want to get fit.
We got Fitbits.
We got Fitbits, yes.
Okay.
Nice little Christmas present. So I want you to help us, Shock. And we'll talk about this in the offseason.
I'm down with it.
We've got plans. It's going to be fun.
We do.
We're going to film these workouts and everything.
Yeah, that's fine. And we could do like maybe not weekly weigh-ins, but maybe like every other week we'll do some weigh-ins.
I'm with that.
Because I've got a goal of 200 even by the start of next season.
I would like that.
I could tone this stuff up a
little bit. That's about a nice round 50 pounds.
We're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not paying him.
How fat we are and he's
over here. I could tone up, man, for real.
Speaking to guys that don't, we don't have to worry about weight.
Look at that.
Yeah, right.
We'll break with Bosek right about now.
Got hey, Bo.
Bo.
How's it going?
How excited were you on Sunday?
Oh, I was jacked.
He had smile like he had won the lottery.
I think all of us did.
My problem is
I would love to win the lottery.
Showboating. Same. I'm fine with showboating, but when you're excessive about showboating, I have no idea what you just said. When you're excessive with showboating, it really grinds my gears.
That's what grinds your gears, huh?
And Cam Newton does it a lot. LeBron James does it a lot.
Getting mad.
So when Cam scored that first touchdown, and he went to the baby. That was like Bosa, you wanted to go run and both said you wanted to go run and tackle him, huh?
That what. We're really
good. Like it's fuming right now.
Bosek would have been like Jeff Van Gundy hanging on to Alonzo Mourning. <Damn, dude. laughs>
2 weeks ago when he ran down the sideline at Cam Newton, it was like, whoa. Oh, yeah. That one.
That drives you crazy?
Yeah.
So you would have
So you saw that in your sleep, huh? Just,
yeah.
So he was tweeting out all kinds of gifts on Twitter of like our celebrations. Yeah. It was funny.
You would have really hated the 80s Miami Hurricanes.
I would
have. Deion Sanders.
All that dancing over there. Yeah.
I'm sure I would.
See, I don't have a problem with it, but you do.
Yeah. The excessive. I'm fine with showboating. You know, you got to be proud of what you just did, but, you know.
Okay.
All right. Question of the week. Break with Bosek. What tasty food would be disgusting if eaten over rice?
I need to know where you got this.
This is awesome question.
This World
is
one, Wide Web.
This is
when you sent this last night, I was like, what?
The internet is a magical place.
It is.
I mean, that's a really weird question.
It's a very weird question.
I went through like 8 different things. I was like, well, you can eat that with rice. That'd be all right. You know.
Rice goes with a lot.
I know.
I'm going to throw this one out here. How about Sour Patch Kids over rice?
Ew.
Yeah. And I love Sour Patch Kids. Those things are fantastic.
Oof.
But imagine that. That would be disgusting if you ate it over rice.
I thought of a few things that were like just disgusting. I was like, you wouldn't want to eat like pudding or like.
Well, there's rice.
Yeah, there's
pudding.
Rice pudding, so that's not. Yeah, that's not bad.
I like rice pudding.
Yeah, rice pudding, that's
good.
Yeah.
Like pizza.
Yeah, pizza was a thought, but
what about what about like lasagna?
I don't know if it would be disgusting.
Yeah, see, those wouldn't be disgusting.
It wouldn't be disgusting. It still would probably be good.
Maybe like a chocolate bar or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like any candy would be.
Like what if you put like chocolate syrup over? Huh?
Oh, that'd be good. I think I could go for that. Matter of fact, does anybody have right now?
Is this a trick question in that there is nothing disgusting?
No, because Sour Patch Kids over rice would be disgusting.
Gum would be disgusting too.
Yes, gum and rice.
Oh. Gum would definitely be disgusting.
That'd be awful.
That would be. I've been thinking about this all day now.
Yeah. This is a real brain bender for me because I just don't really.
Anything that's cookable probably would, because you can eat anything with rice. But
you
like,
can't eat like yogurt with rice. That'd be
That's pretty gross. I don't think apples and rice would.
You got to think of it from a texture standpoint. Right. What from a texture standpoint would rice make just even worse?
Right.
Yeah. Anything like chewy and.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one, Bosek. Did you have anything?
I got nothing on that. All
right, that's fine.
What? I'll just go with candy.
Yeah, chocolate.
I don't think like waffles and pancakes and rice.
Yeah, pancakes and rice would be pretty disgusting.
With syrup on that would be pretty nasty, right?
I don't know.
No?
Like when I think disgusting, I think wretch. What's going to make me wretch? I don't know that pancakes and rice would make me wretch.
I don't think anything.
I don't think it would taste good,
yak,
though.
But
I don't think rice.
I don't think I'd go out of my way to eat it, but.
How about Pepsi over rice?
That's nasty.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew's good with anything.
I got nothing. What did you have? Did you
yeah,
have
gum.
You had gum.
Gum.
Yeah.
Gum.
Candy. I think just any candy mostly.
All right, what do we have as video of the week? I love anything that just says revenge.
Yep. And you know what I was just ranting about.
Oh.
So
there we go.
First play of the day yesterday.
Oh, look at that. We're at the bottom of the screen. Look at that. Yeah.
First play. Cam.
So you're shivering right now. You're shivering.
I see him do this.
Okay,
like,
so we're rocking. So this is what we're doing. Yeah. We're rocking the baby.
Yeah.
What did we do? We rock the baby.
Rock the baby.
We point. We drop the ball.
This
and then we dab.
Of course this was the A-town down. You know,
A-town down. So that's four.
Here,
now five,
down.
We're going to give away the ball, which I'm fine
that's
with.
That's okay.
That's awesome. Fine. That's
they about to
cool
kick the field
with.
Goal right now.
Five. And then as he's running off the field, he stops again and dabs.
With Ted Kidd.
So that's six. This is seven.
The jump shot.
Okay, so that's seven. Seven different celebrations after one touchdown.
After one touchdown.
So one for each point.
Yep.
All right, now we got Freeman getting a little bit of revenge.
Here we
rock
go.
It.
Okay, so we're going to rock
it.
Rock
it,
baby. Rock the baby. Yeah. Rock the baby. Yeah. Woo! Yep.
Keep rocking that
and
baby.
I heard,
one
like,
more time.
I think,
one more time.
I think Mike Pereira said that Devontae might get fined for that. I said,
what?
Really? Money well spent.
Yeah,
no,
whatever.
He didn't.
Yep.
Julio's
did.
Saying, I'm, and right, I yeah. love this. Usain Bolt.
And Bolt. Colin made a record right there.
Yeah, he Usain Bolted it.
That was the record.
And then, okay, so we got some, and this is coming. Oh!
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 Oh! And then okay, so here's my only issue. Julio comes dangerously close to letting go of the football before he gets over the goal line. Yeah. Like, a little closer than I would have liked.
He almost DeSean Jackson did.
Yeah, that's my only issue.
It was a classic.
I watch it, and I'm like, it's close, but he gets in, but
that is close.
Just carry it. Just there's you're never going to get a touchdown taken away for holding onto the ball the whole way.
If Devontae gets fined for that, I'm going to be furious. Now, Cam did the same exact thing?
No, I know. Well, I think his point was they're both going to be fined for it, but I don't understand.
That'd be all right, then.
There wasn't an excessive celebration penalty called for either one of them, but
okay.
Did any of you by chance see O'Brien Schofield with about 30 seconds left when the Falcons were about to take a knee? He was doing this, telling the Panthers, come on. Yeah. He kept doing this. He kept calling, and nobody would look over. Yeah. We were hoping Matt Ryan would dab after taking a knee.
He said he dabbed in the locker room.
Did he?
Arthur Blank dabbed in the press conference.
Again, it's the stupidest dance I've ever
seen.
Arthur's
got to go.
I tell you right now, that ain't the first time Arthur's done that. He's done it a couple times before.
Okay.
Okay. Before that, right there,
it's insider information from DJ Shock.
See, this is what happens when you.
This is why he has
elbows.
This is why he has 845 Falcons. Which, by the way, how do I get a hoodie?
Every week with the hoodie.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to get cold.
Jay, get that man a hoodie, man.
Get a hoodie, man.
His win picks one. A click, and maybe you win.
Oh, I love that one. That was a good one. Two times.
Me and Jim Spirit, we're over here. Don't forget, guys, you can't take us on iTunes. Go to FalconCast on iTunes. Subscribe. And now we'll go to Picks the Click.
Yes, let's get
the award-winning Picks the Click. It will come down to week 17.
Why me you?
Why me Superman?
You know what was bad? Because, and for those of you that watch the show on Thursday when it's posted, we actually taped the show last week early. We're taping the show this week early because of the holidays. We all have families and have things to do, which, by the way, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to all you guys. I know everybody had a great time, and Happy New Year. Be safe. Do like I'm going to do. Drink at home. Don't leave the house. Nobody wants to drive.
That's the best place for me to drink.
Not going anywhere.
In the house.
I had forgot. Honestly, Bosek and I, before the game, I said, who'd we pick? He goes, I have no idea. I said, who'd you pick? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I forgot.
So as the game's going along, I don't know who to cheer for. I'm hoping in the back of my mind I had Roddy White because I knew Roddy was having a big game.
I ain't forget.
But, of course, Shock.
I didn't see you.
A4. My boy came through for me. Every time he caught it wrong.
So here's how it goes down next week. I'm out, which I've been out the entire season.
You had a chance, but now you're officially out.
I am mathematically eliminated now. Mm-hmm. Jay and Bosek both have 4. Shock has 5. So we could end up with a tie if either one of you guys win. If I win, I will donate my win to somebody so we have a tie.
He tried to get somebody.
But if Shock wins, he will be the undisputed 2015 Picks the Click champ.
Heavyweight champion of the world.
Shock, you are the leader right now, which means you get to go last. I'm in dead last, so I'll go first this week. I am going with somebody on the offensive side of the ball. I think everybody will have a big game against the Saints. I'm going to go Jacob Tammy.
We'll
put Tammy on the board. Put him on the board.
Put him on the board.
Yes. Either one of you.
Who's How do we flip a coin?
Bosek goes next because alphabetically he goes first.
Well, my last name starts
with Jay.
If we're going last name, his last name is Bosek.
So I'm out of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to go at A4. I'm going to go with my boy A4. Come on, A4. My boy. Come on, A4. Come on, 84.
Bosek, do we put you down for true font? Is that where we're going here?
No.
No.
True. I'm sorry. Justin Hardy.
Wow, we're going all out.
We're going right all now. Out. Sorry, DJ.
Look at that look. So you knew he was going to go 8-4.
So you go Patrick DeMarco.
And his backup was Justin.
Go LaVine Toilolo. Or Patrick DeMarco.
DeMarco will get you one. You got it.
Oh, man.
I think it'd be silly not to go defense.
You know what?
He ain't that much of a choice.
Yeah, he ain't got much of a choice.
You go Fofo.
It's going to be a lot.
What about Fofo?
It's going to be a lot of throwing going on. Drew Brees, let it throw it down. So let me go with I'm going to make Bosek.
True fun.
Good luck with that one.
It's happening. Wow, True going to have a couple pass deflections.
Hey.
All right.
They going to try him with Cooks.
Those,
yeah.
Hey, those two cornerbacks had a heck of a game against Carolina.
They did.
And this I wanted to bring up. This was a really good stat from Andrew Hirsch, who said that the Carolina Panthers wide receivers combined had only 5 more receiving yards than Roddy White did.
Huh. Our fifth receiver, by the way,
Josh. Our fifth Roman. Wide receiver, right?
Guess what, Josh? He had a pretty good game. You couldn't guard him either.
Yeah, no doubt.
Couldn't guard him. I guess the bat took all their mythical power. It's like Achilles tendon. They lost their bat.
Oh,
they
that's
lost
right.
Their
I
bat.
Forgot about the bat. They,
and
didn't
they couldn't
have
their
bat.
Their bat. Oh, poor Panthers.
I want to make a point real quick. If we do win in a tie, we'll go into a tiebreaker win the playoffs. So, like, we'll pick teams to win.
Okay.
We did a little pick-six playoff last year.
We'll do that
anyway.
We'll do that anyway. Yeah. So I've got
a
second chance.
We'll have
a
regular season chance.
Yeah.
So then I can
we'll
redeem
myself.
We'll start
the slate clean. We'll start the slate clean in the playoffs.
In 2016.
True. Yep.
True. Show up for your dog. All
right.
West Coast. Show up for me.
Appreciate
West Coast.
This week's been a lot of fun. Let's take out the who dat's, because we dat.
Who dat, we dat.
Nope.
Oh, I hit the-